Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Support for 90 Day Fiancé WTF podcast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineered tools for all your shaving needs. Manscaped recently launched the ultimate hygiene bundle for the men in your life, the Performance Package. Help him join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code 90 Day Fiancé WTF at manscaped.com. That's 90 Day Fiancé WTF at manscaped.com. Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, how's it going, Nadia?
Lon?
Yes.
Oh my god, I left the oven on. You recognize that? I'm such a bad impersonator, but... Do we want to start talking about him first?
Who's
that? That is right.
No,
Muhammad and he
was that Muhammad?
Yeah,
he almost... was it when he was trying to.
Yeah, he cooked his breakfast and he forgot to turn off his induction stove.
Oh, see,
and then he went back. He went back and he was like, "Oh my god, did I leave the oven on or something?" He said that. He said something along that line.
I might have been sidetracked on Twitter when that happened because I didn't see him do anything.
Oh, okay. But you were posting a lot of tweets about that piece, right? Where he expected to be waited hand and foot.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, yes, definitely that's not cool. I mean, he's a grown-ass man. He should be making his own breakfast. At the same time, I think it wouldn't hurt for Eve to take some time off to make his stay a little bit comfortable. Not that I encourage her to make breakfast for him, but definitely it would be a nice gesture for her to get him comfortable and, you know, well-adjusted to the house, the surroundings, and for her to immediately go back to work. I feel bad for him. I don't feel bad that he expected her to make breakfast in bed all the time, but I feel bad that she's just living him to his own devices, and as we saw, he almost forgot to turn off the stove. Luckily that didn't cause any fires, and it was also funny seeing him give up on that bidet like it was some IKEA furniture. Right.
I agree with you there, and I also took note of that too. She could have taken maybe a day or something like that, you know, to spend with him, not just overnight. I get it, you have to work, but you know, one day won't hurt, just to familiarize himself with the home and obviously just to maybe show him around. I understand all that too. For me, it was just the way he came off with the expectation, you know, when he said, well, don't get used to that or something like that. Yeah. I was like, if someone is doing things out of kindness, then appreciate the things that they do or will do.
Yeah.
But he's really coming at this very strongly. He's nice about it, and maybe that's just his vocal inflection that makes it seem nice. Just kind of how you mimicked him right there, just it's very soft-spoken and stuff, but then at the same time it is pretty insistent and like almost kind of a scolding kind of manner, like, well,
passive aggressive way.
Right.
Very soft spoken approach.
And I do understand, you know, when he says, you know, and this goes for anybody who's coming over on their 90-day visa, I understand that they're leaving a lot behind and all these things like that, so I get that too. But you know, at the same time, I think he can be understanding too. Like mm-hmm. she has mm-hmm. responsibilities and yeah, somebody has to care for you financially as well. Not just, you know, doing things around the house. She has to work. So I would definitely understand that. I lean more towards Eve just because she has enough responsibilities where she shouldn't need to do things like maybe cooking or something like that. Or, you know, I've also been one to say, make yourself at home and just kind of maybe assume that people know how to handle themselves. So, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think about his interaction with Tharan, her son? Like, I feel like it looks very positive, but I also tell myself that maybe it's because he himself is a kid. So it took one to get along well with another.
It takes one to know one. You're right. Right.
But I thought it was really sweet that he brought a gift, right?
And yeah.
He made effort.
He seems to get along with him well. And it does seem like he genuinely wants to be a part of Tharan's life and wants to be a friend to him. But he has expressed that he didn't expect to be kind of in this babysitter role and that it feels like he's taking on this babysitter role, but this is going to be a responsibility. He's going to have to get used to it. So that part for me was like, oh, I don't know if he's really prepared for this, because she's expressed that that's the expectation from her, that he does step in and that he assumes this responsibility. And he explicitly said, yeah, I feel like a babysitter. I don't think I'm prepared for that. Or I don't think I'm prepared for these female duties.
I'm like, so patriarchal of him. Yeah. To call it female duties. Like,
yeah.
It's her son. I get it. It's her son and he has special needs. So maybe Muhammad feels a certain kind of way about taking care of someone with special needs. Mm-hmm. But I don't like how he phrased it as female duties.
Right.
Because what are you going to do before you get your actual green card? You can't work.
Right. You
know, none of these people can work. They can. They're just waiting on their work permit, right? Their green card. So in the meantime, I think it's reasonable that he becomes the interim babysitter for Tharan.
Right. And taking care of children isn't necessarily like a female duty. Even if we're speaking in terms of like gender roles, neither is assembling plumbing and things like this, right? And in my head, I was like, wait a minute, that's also traditionally, though, not like a female duty. Like, dude. And I hate to use gendered language, but come on, dude, man up. If that's the way you're going to be, then man up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think, you know, females are out here installing bidets and things like that.
That bidet is suspect, though, because I feel like, I have a bidet at home. And unless you have an electrical outlet close to your toilet bowl, I don't know how you're going to get that to work. Maybe it's a special kind of bidet, but I'm interested to know if it works. But shout out to stay-at-home dads. I know that's a trend right now in TikTok where stay-at-home dads kind of show off their stay-at-home abilities, you know, taking care of the household and all that stuff. So shout out to those folks. Are we ready to talk about Ari and Bini?
So for me, this was more about the parents. And it was more of their expectations. We've seen so much of Bini and Ari. And I think for me, I think the show also needed something new. And having kind of the spotlight on the parents this episode and showing the parents' expectations and almost like how Ari also, you know, is thinking maybe her parents are expecting too high. And for me, that was the direction this episode took with Ari and Bini. I think Ari and Bini, for the most part, they weren't fighting or anything like that. We didn't get to see the normal drama we see between them two. Now it's like the reality is, okay, now we're living with our parents. Here's our parents' expectations of us. And here's our parents laying the responsibilities down. And oh, by the way, our parents got an apartment. Yay. Now they expect us to pay for it, you know? And she made a lot of sense. Like, okay, well, if you're going to expect us to pay, where's my opinion in all this? So I would have chose something else. And that was probably for me, one of the shining moments for Ari, but also like when you're getting that privilege taken away, all of a sudden it's bad.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. She's no longer going to be able to suck off the teat, as they say. They're cutting her off. And now she's just like, oh, this isn't fine. it was fine before. Yeah. And now she's kind of getting a taste of I guess what the rest of us call the real world.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't make these payments. Right. Yeah. Well, and you know, the dad kind of just was like, they're setting the standard for them. Well, this is the standard we want you to live at. And she's like, well, I would have went with something less expensive and stuff. We don't need this with all these rooms and stuff like this. Right. And I think too, it's almost kind of reminding Ari why she wanted to live overseas to begin with was kind of a simpler life. And I think she finally got used to it. And now that she got used to it, she had to leave it. Now she's back. And the reality of living in New York, right?
No, Jersey's Princeton.
Jersey. Yeah. Oh, right. Which is
one of the more expensive zip code, right?
Right.
So what I've read so far on the forums is people think that Ari comes off as very ungrateful because here she is returning with, you know, her husband and her kid, and her parents graciously picked out an apartment for them and decided that, yeah, they need more space. So they got a 2-bedroom instead of a 1-bedroom. And she's already complaining about how this was done without having her be part of the decision-making. And I can see that. I can see her side of it. But I can also see her coming off as being ungrateful. And maybe instead of complaining about how she can't make payment, she decided to air out her grievances immediately without being grateful. But at the same time, I can see how her parents were being selfish because they picked out an apartment that was close to them so they can spend more time with Avi and be closer to Ari and Beanie and Avi. And so I can kind of see both sides here because, yeah, I mean, Ari and Beanie probably don't expect to be hitting the ground running. But part of me also think that well, Ari should have come up with a plan prior to returning to the US because how is she expecting to support all of them through her parents?
Right.
Like, that's ridiculous, right? So I know she was a freelance writer, so get writing. You know, like, you can be a stay-at-home mom and still work freelance. But I think we all know that part of it also is that her lifestyle has always been supported by her parents.
Yeah.
And maybe now the reality is sinking in that, okay, now that her mom has verbalized that we do need you to step up and, you know, bring in the bacon home and support yourself, be self-sustaining and not rely on us. And then it occurs to her that maybe, oh shit, like I'm not ready yet.
Yeah. I was getting those vibes that like her parents understand that maybe she's this like free spirit and they're like, all right, it's time to stop dicking around. You need to fucking grow up. You know, I was getting that vibe from them. You need to grow up and you need to grow up quick. You've got a kid now. You're sponsoring somebody now. Like, we can't keep doing this, right? Yeah. You got to grow the fuck up, right? Like, I was getting that vibe, like almost as if, you know, in the movies, whenever the rich parents are like, well, it's time that we need to cut you off. I was getting that whole, we got to cut you off vibe.
Yeah.
The speech, right? Or whatever. Yeah. And then and the kid going, what?
Well, yeah,
I'm not ready for that.
Yeah.
Well, what are you going to do with your life? Like, it was almost kind of like, what are you going to do with your life right now?
Yeah. You know? And then once she found out that she's going to get cut off, that's when she switched to being defensive. And then, like, at first you can tell she was very happy with the apartment. Mm-hmm. Once her parents brought up the whole, like, okay, you got to support yourself now. She's like, well, actually, we don't really need this 2-bedroom. It's
all of a sudden she became responsible.
Right. Suddenly she became a responsible adult. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, we saw through that. Like, come on. When you saw the apartment, you were like so grateful. You were like, oh my God, yes. Like, this is great. And then the mom started a conversation about, well, are you going to win this off?
Yeah.
And like, you got to take over the payments. And then that's when she's like, well, actually, this 2-bedroom is too much space. Like, it's too expensive. How are you going to expect me to pay for all this and utilities? And you got me the most expensive cable subscription. And this Wi-Fi is too strong. Like, we got a weaker signal.
Right.
But she came up with all the excuses because I think it's starting to dawn upon her that she got to support her own family because Beanie can't do shit.
Right. You know? That made me think, too. Were they introduced to us on the other way or before the 90 days? Because if it was the other way, then the expectation from the beginning was that she was going to stay, right? In Ethiopia? Yeah. Or is it Ethiopia?
Ethiopia, yeah.
Right, correct. Right.
You know what? That's a great question. And
yeah, I forget if she was originally supposed to stay there and that when and it was the other way, or if this was before the 90 days and it was always the plan to come back to America. But I bet she's missing she's missing it now.
Yeah, she's missing her help, you know.
Her help, right?
Yeah.
Nobody to do her hair on command.
Yeah. Nobody to just drop off a kit to and like.
Right.
Yeah. Let me see. Where did we first see? Oh, actually, they were on The Other Way season 3. Way. Yeah. So The Other Way means that she went over to live with Beanie in the hopes that, I guess, well, actually, The Other Way doesn't mean that they'll come back.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the expectation was
for them to stay there.
For them to stay there, right?
Yeah. Huh.
And then things changed, I guess.
Yeah. Plans changed.
Plans changed.
Yeah. Got to continue that TLC, you know, TLC cash cow. Well, speaking of spoiled brats, what do you think of Emily's behavior towards Kobe?
I think they both need to sort it out. For me, this wasn't even really a fight. They're learning about each other. It's all part of the learning process to see where their boundaries are at. For me, it was establishing boundaries. I don't think either one of them was disrespectful. It's a disagreement for sure. I don't think it was like some kind of tiff, you know, and yeah, she was having some kind of attitude, but he was also throwing it back. I wouldn't have called it a fight, right?
Yeah. Differences in opinion.
Differences in opinion, right? And again, establishing boundaries and expectations. Well, here's my expectations. Okay, well, here's mine. Okay, yeah. Well, now we got to come to a compromise, don't we? So
yeah.
Again, they're learning about it, and it's unfortunate it had to happen in front of the parents. For me, it wasn't so much Emily. Emily lives there. Emily is in the comfort of her own home. And with her parents there backing her up, I think she felt maybe enabled to say the things she had to say. If I were Kobe, I wouldn't have done it in front of the parents.
Yeah.
I'd have just kind of smiled, nodded my head and be like, all right, we can talk about it later and let her know that this isn't over yet. Yeah. Oh yeah. This isn't over yet. Like
in corporate terms, it would be, let's take this offline.
Yeah. Let's take this offline. Meet me in the break room.
Right.
Yeah. So I would definitely let her know that I'm listening to you. I'm hearing you, but we're going to continue to talk about this maybe in the privacy of our own bedroom or just in private. Things like this, one, I don't want to show conflict in front of parents at all. I just don't like that.
Yeah. You want to be a united front in front of your in-laws, right?
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And even for me at this point, just to show a good first impression.
Yeah.
It's too early in the game to be kind of like
bossing around your
way. Right. To be this kind of upfront and maybe seen as someone who's in conflict with your daughter.
Yeah.
And see, you know, as they were kind of saying fighting when it wasn't really a fight, but now you've given your parents like ammunition to be like, oh yeah, we walked in on them fighting.
Mm.
Yeah. I mean, so it's like, you don't want to, at least for me, we're still in that first impression kind of stage. They're feeling you out. They don't know you. They're already defensive about, you know, their grandson. So you want to be putting your best foot forward. And I wouldn't have been, I think for him, it was quite ballsy, I guess, of him to be doing that with the dad, feet like 2 feet away. And he's over here, you know, just, I was like, yo, you know what I mean?
I have to say,
dad is right there.
He did it in a very classy way. I mean, he could have been a bit more, I mean, dramatic. Not that I want him to be dramatic, but I've mentioned this before in our previous episodes that Kobe is very level-headed, even though he's confronting, or starting a difficult conversation. I've not seen him raise his voice yet, which is great. And very unreality TV light, which is great. If anything, I'm more triggered by the fact that he's shaming her about breastfeeding in her in the comfort of her own home. And I mean, honestly, me and my husband have differences in view when it comes to breastfeeding out in the open, because I can, you know, my husband comes from a very conservative you know, he's a conservative Gen Xer who thinks that women should be in, you know, should cover up and be, you know, privately stashed somewhere, like right. privately hiding out somewhere, you know, in order to pump or breastfeed. But then I was trying to explain to him that this is her own home. And if her family is comfortable with her feeding, her, you know, pumping breast milk, then what's the big deal, right? And I think, too, a society hasn't quite opened up about, or be comfortable with that. I mean, if you think about it, breastfeeding is feeding. It's so feeding. It's like feeding your kid.
Mm-hmm.
And if women are not being objectified or sexualized, then breastfeeding isn't a big deal because that's a mom feeding their kid.
That's know? Exactly so, the way. Yeah.
Yeah. So, so I think people should see it for what it is, feeding a kid who's hungry or thirsty, not being like, oh my God, her breasts are out. Oh my God, free the nipple.
Having a sexual organ exposed in public.
Yeah. like, I feel like the society has gone in that direction.
Yeah.
And it's a shame because, you know, it's feeding, you know?
Right.
And then the other thing that triggers me is the selfish reason about not wanting to share boobs. What's up with that?
What's up with that? He's strange. He's weird about boob stuff,
sharing,
right? Yeah. Boob sharing and just kind of boobs in general, right?
But we also have to be compassionate about the fact that it's probably because he comes from a very conservative culture that's mm-hmm. still very patriarchal and still considers, you know, a woman's boob as sacred and should be hidden and, you know, right. and breastfeeding should have stopped at a certain age. But hey, given that there is a current shortage of baby formula, I think breastfeeding might have to go longer than the, you know, I don't know how many months moms stop breastfeeding their babies. But, you know, I was just, you know, commenting when, you know, to my husband that, well, because there's a baby formula shortage, maybe it's okay for her to continue breastfeeding. Even yeah. though there's that opposing view of like, wait a minute, why is she still breastfeeding?
Right.
Like, why not? You know?
And I was going to ask about that if you knew, because she said something like the longer the better. And I guess the son is almost 2 years old or 2 years old. And
yeah, almost 2 years old.
So yeah, what is then the general consensus for when breastfeeding ends? Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I don't think there's a general consensus. It's up to you to win your.
That's what I thought. Off. Yeah, so and I'm like, huh?
Maybe that's a matter of personal preference rather than, or maybe it's what your OBGYN.
I thought there was like a previous season. Sorry. I thought there was like a previous season too, where someone was breastfeeding and somebody else thought that maybe it was going on for longer than it should have gone. And I forget who that was. And I was like trying to remember what exactly then is the right age. Cause I don't know. I personally don't.
Yeah.
Don't
we're
know.
Not parents. So I'm not.
Yeah.
Sure. Hopefully one day I'll find out, but I don't think it's anyone's right to tell me when to stop.
It's feeding.
Right? Yeah. Except for my pediatrician or something, you know, pediatrician, like my doctor or something. Yeah, maybe, but, like I say, given that there's a baby formula shortage, maybe it is good to like.
If we think about it, we're the ones that invented that stuff too. If we were just left to nature and our natural means of taking care the way like we were meant to, then we would be breastfeeding for quite some time.
I've also heard like there's a school of thought from parents who introduced their kids baby food, like mashed up baby food, like applesauce at a very early age. So after breastfeeding, instead of moving to formula, they move into like applesauce and like mashed potatoes. And, you know, they introduce them to adult food, but in a mashed up way, because obviously you don't have any teeth.
The Gerbers.
Yeah, right? The Gerbers, right? Gerbers, yeah. And I think that's why I got the idea that maybe you should stop breastfeeding the moment you're baby had started teething, because that's when it's a indication that they should start, you know, gnawing and you know, they can start eating like adult food, actual food, instead of just milk. But anyway, Like, yeah, I don't think I can broach that topic because I'm not yet. You know what is what other people have caught in the in their scene is a shot of little Kobe peeking out from his boxer briefs.
Really? I must have missed that too.
I missed that, and then I read that someone caught it, and then I rewatched Pillow Talk.
No.
and there was. I thought people were exaggerating. I thought it was like Photoshop, and then it was like it came out. I was like, gosh. Well, I mean, now they're even, right? So her boobs came out, his thing came out, they're even. I guess. Okay, what's left to ask is, well, maybe you've already addressed this one, but do you think Emily is doing an Angela to Kobe, who's like a Michael 2.0?
I don't think so. I don't know. And maybe I'm biased. For me, Emily is much more likable. I don't see that comparison, like, for me.
But she comes across as very uptight when it comes to letting Kobe bond with...
Yes, that's very true. And she does need to take that into consideration.
Yeah.
And he's been away. But I think she's in mom mode.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what a lot of moms also mention, is that when you have a kid who cannot sleep, like, you do anything to make sure they go to sleep.
Right. When my brother and his wife had their kids and stuff like that, there was also this conflict. And it's natural. It's natural to have conflict, because my brother also wanted to bond with his children. And Jenny, sorry for putting you on the spot here, was in mom mode.
Yeah.
And it was coming from a good place. But also, because it's what I call mom mode, it's maybe hard to consider the feelings of how your partner feels and how your partner wants to bond.
Yeah.
Because now you see yourself as almost the sole protector. Mm. You know what I mean? And you want to die. You've been carrying this kid for 9 months and you want to protect things, right? It's the reason animals in the wild hiss and attack when you start approaching, you know, young lion cubs or whatever.
I was about to say that. I was thinking about lioness, like, and how they're so protective.
She would do kind of the same things, not maybe to the extreme, but also like, hey, maybe you don't want to do that. Or, or can you, like, be quiet? Or, you know, if he wanted to play or something, well, don't be like this. To him, he's like, dude, I'm just being a dad. Why don't you chill out? Right. And so there's going to be this conflict of like, can you just let me be the dad? I'll let you be the mom. But at the same time, you have to let me be a dad here. Mm. You know, so I understand Emily. Right. I get it. The whole feet thing was kind of weird. But then I'm like, this woman probably hasn't slept.
Yeah.
And right now she's 2 minutes away from peace and quiet.
Yeah.
She's so close and you're over here waking him up. So she's like, what are you doing?
And someone,
I get even, that.
Someone even mentioned that you want to introduce routine into a baby's life at an early stage. Mm-hmm. So if he has to sleep by 8 p.m. or by 6 p.m., he's got to sleep by that time. And then that's how you, I guess, facilitate the growth and the routine, and you know, get the baby to cooperate. So I can understand where she's coming from. It's just obviously because they're both on reality TV. So maybe we see it being played up. And
I don't know when babies know, because here's the thing, right? If Coben keeps turning away, oh, here's like the dad, and Coben just meh, meh. Okay, well, how long is he going to keep doing that? Isn't there a point where you just got to be like, you got to get comfortable with your dad.
Yeah. Like, I think it's looking positive, the fact that Coben called Kobe Dada.
Mm.
So I think he's getting used to it. And I think it will take time. I mean, supposedly when they film this scene, you know, we're made to believe that it's day two of the 90-day fiance process.
Right.
So it's only day two. So I would think that we need to give them a bit more time. It's just that TLC, the way they edit this, they made it seem like Emily's being too controlling and being uptight about how Kobe gets to interact with Coben. And I'm pretty sure it's her way of training Kobe as well. Like, your son needs to sleep at this time. Your son needs to eat at this time. I have to breast pump at this time. You know, I think it's her way of training him, and he just have to get with the program.
All right.
All right, Lon, shall we move on to Bilal and Shahida?
Yes. What do you think about her expectation of eventually being called mom? Umi, which is mom, and which mom. I think children know is mom.
Yeah. I can see that she's trying to put the bug in their ears that eventually she would want to be called Umi. But I also think that it's premature for her to, I wouldn't say insist, right? Because it's the first time that she addressed this, but for her to introduce the concept of her being their mom, even though they've not officially gotten married yet. So I can see both sides as well. She's trying to implant that, or what do you call it, do an inception on them, or implant that idea into their heads that, hey, one day you'll have to call me mom because I'll be marrying your dad. But at the same time too, if I put myself in the kids' shoes, they'll be like, wait a minute, you're not even officially married. Well, they are officially married the Muslim way.
Right.
But maybe they feel like, okay, wait a minute, like you're jumping the gun here. You're not legally married. I don't know. I mean, again, this is such a weak plot. You know, and the
fact that, like, they have to introduce some kind of friction here.
Conflict,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of weak because, like, now that I'm talking it out, I'm like, okay, well, it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I think it's weird that she said she doesn't play games.
That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me take a step back. For me, I just think mom is a very strong title, especially for kids that are already grown up and who have a bond with their biological mother. Mm-hmm. And the biological mother is still alive. And from what I've seen, she's hella fucking cool. So for someone I just met, if you're marrying my dad or you're married to my dad, that doesn't make you my mother though, you know? And for her to seem like, eventually I'd like you to call me mom. So I'm going to call you mom and I'm going to call my mom, mom. You know what I mean? And maybe for people out there who have two moms, maybe it's not such a strange idea for you all listeners. If there are some of you out there who have this kind of experience, let me know how it is. That's just it. I'd be like, wait a minute. That doesn't make you my mom though. It makes you a very special person in my dad's life. And if we decide to bond and we get really close.
Okay. So what is your expectation of them addressing her? Because then I can kind of add a color to that commentary.
I don't know yet. I don't know where I stand. So obviously my girlfriend Koi has children of her own from a previous relationship and I don't expect them to call me dad. I came in late into their life. Her son is already grown up in his 20s. Her daughter was 9 when I met her. She's 15 now. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't expect her to call me dad.
But that's because you're not married to their moms too, right?
Right, right. So for me, it's not marriage that gives you the title.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? If let's say he married her right away, like is the expectation then that, hey kids, this is your mom because we married each other. You know what I mean?
So I can say that this might be a Muslim thing, but culturally you would address someone as either mom or dad because it's respectful.
So out of respect, there's a formal title to it. Right. Okay.
Because I've seen how for Westerners, when they are in a blended family, they call each other, or they call like the mom or the stepmom, right? On a first name basis. And I think culturally, we always go with the formal or the more respectful title, which is mom and dad. So that's why I'm not surprised when Shahida asked to be called Umi, because I actually kind of expected that because I grew up in that society, in that culture.
Mm.
But I can understand that the kids are apprehensive because maybe they're not used to that because they grew up in the US. So, you know, unless their dad insists on them calling her mom, then I can understand why they feel awkward about it.
If it's a cultural thing, then I totally get that because we're the same way. Like people who aren't really related by blood, but as a respecting, because they're our elders, we'll call them
aunt and uncle,
Lola. We'll relatives. Give them, right. We'll give them familial titles. Right. For me, it just came across as maybe wishful thinking and very, very much wishful thinking at that. You just met these people. And I know she's like, well, maybe eventually. And she's kind of being very timid approaching the subject and stuff like that. But I was like, whoa, that's a lot to tell people who are their age.
First met.
Yeah, I get it if they're like 4 or 5 and the world's kind of new. Hey, you know, I'm going to be your mom. Like, I get that. But then to approach as developed as they are and how old as they are, I didn't get their ages, but I think they're of age to have bonded and to have a strong bond with.
They're teenagers. So I guess they're more aware. But yeah, I can definitely see your point. I do like how his daughter, Zaina, how she addressed that, and she says she'll take it into consideration. I think that's very polite of her, rather than saying hell no, or like, oh, it's a hard pass.
Right,
because I think that's her at least being respectful of her request, because like you said, Shahida was being polite too. She was like, you know, one day maybe you'll call me Umi, and it's not like she's commanding them to say, well, call me Umi, you know.
Right,
like I say, it comes across as her implanting that idea in their heads and maybe giving them time to marinate on it.
Right. I don't know, because I've never been in these situations too. How would his ex-wife feel about that? You know, well, mom says, and she's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
What did you call her?
If they're going to be in a blended family, I would like to think that people in blended families are fine having two moms, two dads, you know? Many sisters, many brothers, you know what I mean? So, I mean,
I understand the whole step concept. I guess maybe that makes more sense to me for them to be like my stepmom, this, or, you know, stepmom. But I understand that's, I guess, too wordy to be calling her stepmom every time. Yes, stepmom.
Plus in Arabic too, I don't know what is the equivalent to like stepmom, right? Because Umi is just mom.
Umi is just mom.
Yeah, right. So like Muslims obviously would call their mom Umi.
As a title of respect, then I kind of get that by just saying Umi. That totally makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, at least it's not Chiki Mama.
Chiki Mama.
That's the name of Kara's dog.
The dog.
It's so cute though. Cheeky Mama. I just want to say, if I were to go to someone's house and my partner warned me that that person might beat me up, I would politely ask that person to turn the car around.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, what is this threat? Are you like mentally fucking with me?
And see, and this is the thing sometimes about Kara. She can be a little extra, right? Yeah. Because when they made the introductions, she already said it in the car. Okay, once is enough. I get it. I get your point. I'm receiving the message here. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then she finally makes the introductions. It was her uncle, right?
Yeah. Uncle Mike.
Her uncle was like totally cool about it. And you could have spilled the beans that he's an investigator or whatever have you. But did you see when the uncle introduced himself? She was the one that threw that in.
Yeah.
She was the one that was like, oh yeah, he could beat you up if he wanted. You fucking told me that already.
Yeah.
Like, why do you got to put this out here when I'm meeting him for the first time? You know, did you hear that when she slid that in?
Yeah.
He's like, oh yeah.
You said something like, you're big.
As you're
like,
bigger. Yeah, 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 bigger. Bigger and then she's like, haha, he could beat you up. And I'm like, you don't got to throw that in there. Like, why are you being like this? He's already nervous, right? Mm. You already prepped him. You already said it to him in the car. Why are you being weird about it? Again, it's this whole infantilizing thing. Like, why are you so condescending, you know, in front of your family members? Wouldn't you want to present him in the best light? Wouldn't you want to make him feel as comfortable so he doesn't fuck up? And maybe if I was the uncle, maybe I don't want to come off that way. Maybe I just want to be the uncle. I've got my eye on you. I'm a private investigator. And you're over here saying, yeah, he could kick your ass. I obviously shouldn't say that, but just, you know what I mean? He could beat you up if you wanted. I'd be like, calm down.
I'm a proponent of letting someone get to know that person by themselves. Again, without implanting ideas of like, this person can beat you up, or like, they're a PI, they're going to spy on you or something like that. You know, I just feel like don't scare people, and also don't make them uncomfortable before meeting them, because you want to give people the chance to get to know a new person that they're going to meet.
Right.
But
if anything, you want to tell them maybe ways that they'll get along better.
Yeah. You know, like, my uncle likes.
Right.
Well, yes. Or something like that.
Yeah. Or find something in common or something that you can share, but immediately to the threats and stuff like that. And I'm just like, Kara.
And then I'm not sure if you noticed, but Kara made that baby gesture as well. And I thought, once again, Kara.
I didn't. Are you kidding?
Yeah, I gotta watch it again, but I read somewhere in the forum that she did that again. Because remember he told the story about how he sort of fell in love with her because when he was sick
and she was took care caring of him, and nurturing, yeah.
And she did that baby gesture. And I was like, damn, Kara, can you stop? You're putting out that impression to people that he's being baby.
Right. She's really hammering on that vibe.
Yeah, she's really hammering that message home. But you know what? Maybe behind closed doors, he does like being coddled. Maybe that's his kink, and maybe that's her kink. But like,
no kink shaming, folks.
Yeah, no kink shaming. But out in the open, when you're meeting people, especially your family members, like meeting them for the first time, you don't want to put out that kind of imagery, right? Or that
right brand. The things you do when you're comfortable, and it's part of how you guys show intimacy to each other in a relationship. They don't need to come out like that.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's such a shame.
I think he made a good first impression, though. You know,
he held his own. He's personable.
Yeah.
Well, last couple to talk about, Thais and Patrick. Thais' dad is very sweet, though, I have to say. He's very sweet. Like, when he broke down, I was like, oh, sir, you don't have to apologize. Because he kept saying, like, sorry to the cameras.
She didn't need to. I know that she's keeping this a secret. But from the way he reacted, I think he knows. You know what I mean? He knows. Yeah. That he wouldn't have reacted that way if he's like, man, she's fucking coming back. Are you kidding me? Yeah.
He knows, but
there was this feeling, and just the way he expressed it, that he's losing his daughter over this. You know, you raise a daughter, and then she leaves. I was like, and then I'm like, she's like, we're not telling him. I'm like, I think he has a pretty good idea, whether you told him or not. I'm pretty sure he has a good idea of what's going on here.
So she's trying to tell her family that she's going to be there experimenting, filling it out and coming back, right? But she left out the part where Patrick is going to get her a green card and she'll be staying there and obviously getting married, right?
The permanence
of her staying in the U.S. Yeah, and I think that's dumb.
Yeah, come on. Your dad's not dumb. Yeah. Get the reaction that he got. He's already foreseeing that permanence of it, of her leaving the home for good and maybe visiting occasionally. This is not a guy who expects his daughter to be back in a couple of weeks. No, when the realization of it hit, he was like apologizing profusely for getting super emotional about it. Mm-hmm. You know, he had to take a break, I think, 3 times, like, sorry.
Yeah.
Recollect, speak again, only to break down a few seconds later. He's sorry. I'm like, this guy, man, like, he knows. He fucking knows, man.
So let's talk about Patrick getting ready to meet her. Having his back, sack, and crack taken care of.
Right.
Hopefully it's a good segue to our sponsor, Manscaped.
Getting ready. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because we just got the Manscaped Performance Package. Super excited about this, mainly because now I don't have to use the stuff I use on my face. It's so cool to have like a product line that's just exclusively for grooming this area of your body. So for me, that's totally a game changer. In this package, you know, you get the lawnmower, 4.0 trimmer, the weed whacker, ear and nose hair trimmer, crop preserver, ball deodorant, crop reviver toner, performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold all of it. First off, this trimmer is the future of grooming. Dare I say the greatest ball trimmer ever, the lawnmower 4.0. Their fourth generation trimmer features a cutting edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. Thanks to their advanced skin safe technology, the Lawnmower 4.0 is waterproof and also has a 400K LED spotlight in case you need more precision with your shave. This trimmer, as I said, is waterproof, so you can say goodbye to the messy bathroom floor. Go ahead and jump in the shower and get to grooming. And if you thought that was good, if you wanted to take your grooming to the next level, the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker nose and ear hair trimmer. The Weed Whacker is also waterproof with a proprietary skin safe technology, which also reduces nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate nose holes of yours. And I know how sensitive those are. Those hurt. So you definitely want a tool that's sensitive to those areas. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant and Crop Reviver Ball Toner will change the way you approach your hygiene routine. Trust me when I say this, fellas, your balls will thank you. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Bring your comfort and boxers to the next level. I've already tried them on, and yeah, I'm going to be wearing these for a while. Mm-hmm. So it's time to take care of yourself. Go to manscaped.com right now. Get 20% off and free shipping
with code 90DayFianceWTF.
90DayFianceWTF.
Yep. Once again, folks, get 20% off and free shipping with the code 90DayFianceWTF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com with 90DayFianceWTF as your code. Unlock your men's confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. All right, Lon, we've come to the end of our coverage. I believe this was it episode 5 called Breast Intentions? That's the name of the episode, by the way. What is your WTF moment?
You know, for me, I wanted to go with the whole mom thing with Bilal and Shah, but I want to say for me, of the first initial WTF reaction I got, it was when Kara brought that out. Well, he can beat you up. Like,
yeah.
For me, I immediately went there. I went to being Guillermo, being introduced to, you know, your partner's family or whatever, and you prepping me for what's to come and stuff like that. And then right off the bat, like, if it were me, I don't know if I could have hid my reaction. I probably would have given her a look like, why are you being weird? Like, why are you saying that? Like, hi, my name's Lon, by the way. Pleasure to meet you. I'm sorry about her. Yeah, so I was like, WTF, man. Like, what are you saying? And it only goes like further into her and kind of being condescending and presenting him not in the best light. Like, why would you say that?
Yeah. By the way, I totally agree with that. My WTF moment is Muhammad giving up on the bidet. I expected that, but also
I cannot do this
right. Giving it all together, but also almost causing a fire in the kitchen because he forgot to turn up. You know, in the grand scheme of things, it would have been okay. It's an induction stovetop. So
say that thing again.
What?
Oh my god!
Oh my god! I love the oven.
He does sound.
Dude, he had trouble cracking the egg. I'm not sure if you noticed that.
He does sound like that, though.
Yeah. I feel bad for him. And he was like trying to find the salt.
Yeah.
It looked like he made a decent breakfast for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah. I genuinely hope that this is all fabricated. Like, he actually knows how to take care of himself because it looked like he did make a decent breakfast.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Muhammad.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Don't get used to doing that.
Yeah, never mind. it's just everything he says with a smile too, right? And that's the thing that's weird about it. Like when he's like, but don't get used to that. He's like, but you better not get used to it.
Yeah, I know. He's so sneaky though. He snuck that in with a smile.
Yeah, it's with a smile. That's what's so insidious about it.
I know. He makes a good stand-up comedian, honestly. Like the fact that he can deliver those lines with a smile and like, or a good salespeople, I don't know, a salesperson, right?
Hilarious. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, give us a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90DayFianceWTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast.
So, Juan, what have you been watching?
Okay. I binged season 2 of Bling Empire. Oh, Hot mess.
I don't know if you want to go first, but I think this new season villain is Kane.
Yes.
He was very messy.
I didn't really like him in season 1. I can see redeeming
qualities.
Yeah, yes, yeah. I see the goodness. Yeah. He's a good friend. I see the goodness in him. But there were moments in season 1 where it's like eye roll, we get it, you're rich, because he plays up the richness. And who am I to say how you're supposed to act? That's not my place. Yeah. But it's just when someone is like, "Wow, that's super expensive." And it is. It's super expensive. Mm-hmm. It costs maybe what a car would cost. And he goes, "Huh, that's not expensive." We get it, bro. You're fucking rich. Like, you know, he throws in these little things and I'm just like, okay, you know what I mean? But whatever, you know, again, you know, he has qualities about him, you know, loyalty to friendships and stuff.
Yeah.
But man, season 2, messy.
Yeah. What are your highlights, or what is your defining moment of season 2? Because I have one. I definitely have one.
For me.
And I have a lot of tea as well.
Yeah, for me, it was the realization for me that Kim, I don't know, she felt, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I think, like, obviously she's a DJ, super like attractive for me, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. So yes. I put Kim like on this pedestal. Like, Kim, she's so fucking dope. You know what I mean? She's awesome. She's a DJ. She's super hot. Oh, look, there's a sensitive side of her and blah, blah, blah. But then, like, this season, the whole lie detector thing, I'm just like,
that was really out of line. That
And then so her, necessary. And then her reaction towards it when they're on the street, that little scene there where he's trying to express to her how he feels. And she's like, you know, she all of a sudden she changed into this person that I haven't seen. She's like, you know, all this right here, this isn't cute. You can fucking go, blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, who is this person right now? Yeah.
She went from like being caring and patient and sensitive to like being overly defensive and kind of like not owning up to her action or not taking accountability.
Mm-hmm.
She's very inconsistent, I feel, because she cannot trust him. And yet when he found out that she's not really into him, which is my biggest problem, is that I think she dragged this on and played with his feelings or toyed with his feelings and gave him hope, right? Even though she does draw the boundary there, but like,
why go through all that if you weren't feeling him in the first place?
Like, why waste his time? Like, I'm not a fan of Kevin either, but I feel bad for Kevin, especially since he's getting it from both sides, like from Kane, right? And from Kelly, and he's not getting any respite. Like, he can't catch a break.
I have a question for you now.
Okay.
What don't you like about Kevin? Wait, he is the poor one of the bunch. Yeah,
he's not there.
Like,
he's
a little more likable, but like, okay, well, now I'm like, okay, wait, well, you're not a fan. Obviously, you don't have to be a fan of everybody.
No,
but, what is about Kevin then? What are your,
like, I think he comes across as the Johnny Bravo. Like, he's empty up here, but I'm pretty sure he's like a dude bro. And sometimes I feel he's all about his body. He's into himself.
Totally.
He flexes for no reason. And I'm like, but I like his hustle. I can see that he's really trying to take his modeling to the next step, or he's trying to get back into the modeling game because he hasn't been, you know, quote unquote, like working. And I think we saw the other side of Kevin where he was vulnerable and opening up about how he's really into Kim, and also that he's part of AA.
Yeah.
He's doing his 12 steps. Kudos to him, right? For being vulnerable this season.
I'm glad you reminded me of that, because that's the side I like. But then you reminded me that, yes, there are those moments, like when he met the person from the modeling agency, and he's like, so do you represent anybody as beefy as me? I cringed.
And then she has like, a lot of those lines.
Yeah. And then she was like, oh, you know, what's, I forget how she phrased the question, but she was like, well, you know, what brings you joy or something?
Yeah.
And he's like, my abs. I'm just like, cringe even more. The like, how could you? It was one of those things where it was one of those things where it's like, yeah. How could you be more cringy? And he's like, yeah. Hold my beer. I'm like, what? Know, right? Why? And I'm just like, dude, I want to like you.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. And then if somebody changed the subject, so can we go get some drinks? I'm just fucking go get drinks. Go. This guy's crashing and burning all over the place right now. Like,
yeah,
go get drinks. Like,
so I have to say my most defining moment for me during season two is the confrontation between Christine and Anna.
Cliffhanger.
But also I have to give props to Christine because she took it like a champ, because mm-hmm. Anna was really going hard on her, threatening to countersue or sue her and calling her a bitch at some point. And Christine took it. And you can tell Christine's eyes were welling up too. Like she was almost on the verge of like tearing up, but she kept it together and she could have acted ratchet or she could have like,
taken Anna's bait.
Right. She could have been like
super it almost seemed like Anna was baiting her to get a reaction, but she was already a step ahead.
Yeah. And she was very composed and she was trying to make sense and trying to drill the point home into Anna, like, hey, I didn't expect this to leak out. I was just confiding
in a friend. And my reactions were normal.
Valid. Yeah.
For somebody who is feeling threatened, maybe the information I got was not all there, but it's the information I got and I'm acting the way a normal person would act. All these things you're saying about me is like, I'm acting the way I am acting.
Yeah. And I was like, I'm entitled to my emotions.
It was almost like she was putting me in check too, because I was like, oh, why is she fake crying? Cause I automatically dismissed it when she's like, and then I heard about this in my head. I was like, looks like she's acting this, you know, but
I thought it was crocodile tears too. But then
when she faced Anna, that was,
I respect her for that. She took it like a champ, like I said. The other person that I was going to talk about is Jamie and how, dude, Jamie's the skinny, is from the
Bay Area. The best dressed for me, at least. She wears the craziest. I'm just like, damn. Flossing every time she's on camera.
She's from Silicon Valley. Her dad created a VPN software that eventually got bought out by Juniper, so her dad's like billions of
wondering where
so the that's where she gets her, you know, wealth. So she's like Dorothy in a way, right? I just dude, her personality is that of a, I told my husband this, her personality is an unengraved park bench.
Explain.
Like the way she talks, I swear, if I ever got a chance to talk to her, like I would snooze, because like nothing about her interests me. And she's very critical about fashion, obviously, because she, you know, sees herself as someone who's very fashionable. But also, like, she tried to go on a date, it's like she just talks over him. Remember the Adam from that clothing store in LA? She talks over him, and Adam, I think Adam's from Sacramento, shout out.
Yeah.
So,
she flipped it to make it seem that he was uninteresting.
Right. And then
you
know that you bore someone when they had to end the date by saying, I have an appointment with a friend.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh my God, that's his way of like saying like, yo, I got to do this, man.
He was like, and it's directly after this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, some tea that I can share is that, so you know, Kane is now part of the Oppenheim group. So the Selling Sunset
real estate.
Yeah, he's doing real estate. I think he might have some beef with his family, so he's trying to earn his own money.
Wow.
The other thing that people might have not caught on is that, I wouldn't say midway through the show, but you notice that Sheree and Jesse were not filmed after like the second or third episode, after that gossip about them got leaked out. Because they left the show midway.
It because of the gossip, though?
It's because of the gossip. I think they didn't expect that piece of their private life to be leaked out.
But they made it public. Well, it was indirectly. Because he still had it on the ins. Everything that they were saying was on the social, right?
I don't know about that, because the way it got leaked was because a friend of theirs, Leah, who met up with Jamie, told him that actually Jesse was married with kids when he first met Sheree. And is it Sherry? Cherry or Sheree? Anyway, Sheree. And they had a kid while he was still, I guess, technically married. And I think when that got leaked out, they decided as a couple not to be featured on the show or not being filmed.
When it was explicitly stated, I get that. Maybe it wasn't common knowledge.
Yeah.
But then when they had the receipts and it was on Instagram, then it became, for me at least, you're not trying to hide this.
Yeah.
It's out in the public. This is all information that's readily available for people who are following you.
Yeah.
So then to me, it wasn't a big deal. If anything, maybe Sheree had more to lose because she could be seen as the home wrecker or whatever, you know, the Alicia Keys or whatever.
Dude, I was thinking the same. Because she's the Asian Alicia Keys.
Right. Yeah. But again, protect your socials, folks. Had he deleted that stuff, then maybe that would have squashed things because they would have maybe tried to look for it and not found anything and would have been like, oh, well, maybe they would have talked about it or whatever, but they wouldn't have had the smoking gun, right? Mm-hmm. And showed it, because now it's just like, oh, well, this must be safe. For me, whenever it's out in the public, it must be safe. You're not hiding it.
Yeah.
So why are you hiding it now? it's too late for that. You should have dealt with those photos and stuff. You knew they were out there on your Instagram, unless your Instagram is curated by other people. But but wow, that's a good tea. I didn't know that. But that's because Kane, right?
No way.
Well, it was explicitly said by the friend.
Yeah.
But it's Kane that's blowing it up.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, why is it even your business? I gotta get to the bottom of this. Yeah. I'm like, no, you don't.
He felt a certain kind of way because I've been friends with
Sheree. Yeah, I'm like, that's none of your business, though. And I was just rolling my eyes because he's the one forcing, inserting himself into that.
Yeah.
They were fine before. Yeah. Now you're just, I got to get to the bottom. It's like, why didn't you tell me? And then to start spreading it, because he was also the one that started, well, I just can't believe. I'm like, dude, it's none of your fucking business.
Exactly.
It's none of your business at all.
He's messy, yo. I can't believe he's the face of Fenty. Fenty
what?
Beauty? Yeah, he's the He's the face of Fenty Beauty now.
I didn't know that. He's making big moves.
Yeah,
but at the same time, his
family cut him off. That's probably why he's like, now I gotta stand on my own 2 feet. Anyway, Lon, any final words to our listeners?
Happy Memorial Day!
Happy Memorial Day! Thank you for listening.
Don't forget to use that Manscaped discount.
Yep, it makes for a very good Father's Day gift that's coming up in June. So, if you're looking for a gift for your dad, go to manscaped.com and use our code 90DayFiancéWTF. In the meantime, be kind to one another and bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Get 20% off and free shipping with the code 90DayFiancéWTF at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free worldwide shipping at manscaped.com and use the code 90DayFiancéWTF. Unlock his confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped.